The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
Hello, survivalists. This is The Crux, True Survival Stories. I'm your host, Casey McIntosh. I'm joined here with host Julie Henningsen. How are you doing today, Julie?
Well, Casey, I'm doing well, but I got to tell you, I'm on the edge of my seat after you left us hanging with this story last week. I cannot wait to hear what you have to tell us today.
Have you been missing sleep at night, just tossing and turning in bed, wondering what happens next?
Yeah, I mean, I've been imagining all kinds of possible scenarios that could be happening next. So I'm curious to see if something I've come up with is actually what happened.
Well, what you do know is that there's nothing but frigid water and gigantic waves and very dark skies.
And middle of the night.
Yes. And middle of the night.
And isolation. Yeah. All of the factors converging.
Right. Yes. Well, I was going to tell you real briefly before we get into the story. This has nothing to do with the Coast Guard or rescue missions or any of that nature. But I just wanted to briefly talk to you about the fact that I flew with my brother in a Skylane, which, if you remember, is the same plane, same model as Lauren Elder crashed into the Sierra Nevadas in. And this is a plane that he recently purchased. And I got into the plane and looked at the yoke and it said Skylane on it. And I was like,
You said, I know too much.
I know too much.
And were you in California too?
Yes, we were in Long Beach and we flew from this little airport in Long Beach over to Catalina Island, which was so cool. But it was a little bit terrifying for me. And also, my brother flies jet airplanes most of the time, so he's not used to these little Cessnas. And I could tell he was a little bit nervous, which...
Oh, no. Not only do you know too much about the plane and what can go wrong, but you probably know your brother too well that you can pick up on these subtle little cues that he's a little bit nervous,
right,
too.
But after we were in the air for a little while, I was like, oh, he's fine. It was mainly just the other aircrafts, because there are so many other aircrafts that, I mean, it's just airplanes everywhere. And so that was the biggest thing, is like, it would be easy to fly into someone else. But the first thing I said to him when we were headed to the airport was, do you have life jackets in this thing? Because if you don't, I'm not getting in it.
Did you inventory like a survival bag tucked into the plane, make sure you had a little food resources, a little water?
Definitely did not.
Locator beacon.
He called an air traffic control watch. So they were paying attention to us the whole time. And they were giving us constant feedback.
Nice.
Like, there's a plane that's a mile away, 500 feet above you. And then we could change our altitude based upon these call-ins. So if we went down right away, there would have been a signal. And there's a lot of boats and cargo ships going back and forth in this area. So I think we would have been okay. But the cool thing about this Skylane airplane is that apparently it's not very likely to crash at high speeds. So there are very few deaths in it, which definitely made me feel better. You can go a lot slower and still be airborne. And the other thing about it is that the second that you take off in it, it just shoots up into the sky. It just wants to be afloat in the air. So it was a really cool experience. I was terrified a little bit the whole entire time, but I'm really glad that I did it.
Yeah, it sounds amazing, especially in that location. It sounds cool.
Oh, yeah.
And your brother's a pro, a good pilot. He's a professional.
Yeah. So. And also, he's fun. He's fun. So that helps. So anyway, I survived.
Definitely.
We didn't crash into the ocean, which was awesome. And it was really fun. So anyway, okay. So now I'm taking you back to where we left off. Ready, Julie? We're jumping.
I'm more than ready.
More than ready. We're jumping back into that dark, cold, lonely night in the Atlantic Ocean, 350 miles east of Savannah, Georgia, where rescue swimmer Mike Odom is struggling to stay alive on the life raft in an abyss of thrashing waves, cold water, and unrelenting winds. For nearly an agonizing hour before this point, Mike Odom had been battling the odds, pulling panicking sailors to safety one by one, despite his exhaustion. Then, in a cruel twist of fate, just as a third sailor was hoisted to safety, the lifeline connecting Odom to his only hope, the rescue helicopter, snaps, leaving him stranded in this unforgiving abyss. So he's alone in the darkness with no hope of rescue. Odom is grappling with the harsh reality that there's no escape from this peril that surrounds him, and all he can do is wait and prepare himself for the inevitable. The rescue crew on the Jayhawk had to make a difficult decision to leave Odom in the water, as they had very little fuel, as you remember, and they were risking everyone's life on board. They had tossed Odom a life raft and a floating radio transmitter to track drift of objects in the near vicinity. Terror washed over Mike Odom as he experienced immense stress. About the experience, Odom stated, quote, "I knew how far offshore I was, and I knew there was no other rescue resources backing them up. I saw them disappear into the night. At that point, I got on my radio and began screaming, 19, talk to me. What's going on? 19, talk to me. I was talking to them on the radio, but wasn't hearing back from them."
So he didn't know why they were turning around. He wasn't informed on what was going on in the Jayhawk.
No. And can you imagine how horrifying that would be? I mean, absolutely horrifying. That's not at all what you're expecting.
Right. Just to see that plane flying away in the distance. And remind me, Casey, there's still, what, two people on the sailboat? But the sailboat now, I imagine, is
long gone.
Probably pretty long gone.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. So Currently, there's two men, like you said, on the sailboat. One of them is the captain that doesn't want to get off. And then the other one was the man that got thrown overboard when that giant wave thrust the whole entire sailboat underwater. He was the one that was on deck with the captain. And remember, they had to rescue him out of the water. He had his harness attaching him to the sailboat. So he's not in real great condition, and he wants to get the HE double hockey sticks off of that sailboat.
Understandably, as would I, yes, in this situation.
100%. So it turns out that the helicopter and Odom were speaking to each other at the same time, and that was blocking out one another's transmission. Kind of like when you and I are talking at the same time over this Riverside app that we're recording on.
Oh, I can absolutely relate to that.
Exactly. So you know what's going on here. But it's crazy that it completely blocked it out the entire time both parties were talking to one another. No message was transmitted, to the point where he truly felt that they had left him for dead.
Terrifying.
On the Hilo, as they're flying away from the scene, none of the rescued passengers from the sailboat had an awareness of what was going on at that moment. All they knew was that the rescue swimmer that had saved their lives was in the water below, being left behind. And they also noticed that the Coast Guard lieutenants were crying as they navigated away from the scene.
Oh, wow. Gosh. I'm sure that was confusing and upsetting to everyone.
Yes. All of those guys were completely torn up. And Odom's best friend is also on this Hilo.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he said later on, with a lot of emotion, quote, "He still doesn't know that the cable broke. And we had to drop him a raft instead. And that was hard. You know he's scared, but you've got to leave him anyway. I just didn't want to do it." The Lockheed C-130 Hercules circled overhead, attempting to keep eyes on Odom. Because remember, this fixed-wing aircraft is still there. It still has fuel. Lieutenant Reed was the pilot who was flying the C-130. And he'd already been flying for 4 hours. His fuel was getting to a critical low level. He ended up shutting down two of his engines to conserve fuel, even though he had already been ordered back to base. He just wanted to stay there with Odom as long as he possibly could. A plane from Florida, a relief Coast Guard C-130, was getting ready to fly out. Odom was sitting in his life raft, ironically, one that he'd prepared for the rescue of others before this shift began. A large wave tossed him back into the sea, and after some effort, Odom was able to grasp the raft before it was washed away, because if that would have happened, he would have been a dead man.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Remember, these are like 25-foot waves.
Yeah, I'm picturing him just being tossed from this raft and then having to swim back to it somehow, and these huge waves, and even just like climbing into it, I'm sure was physically challenging.
Well, and can you imagine the amount of adrenaline you would have in your body at that moment? Because you know that rescue is so far away. And if you don't get back on that raft immediately, you are a goner, pretty much. I mean, effectively, especially in that kind of water.
Right. Yeah.
After he clambered back on the raft, he attempted to connect himself to the raft with the lanyard in the event that he toppled off again, that it wouldn't be so perilous. He would be able to get the raft back to him without so much effort. But at that point, he was hit by another wave, and it threw him back into the jumbling water. Again, he climbed aboard the raft, and this time he was absolutely spent. He was completely worn out and wondering what had transpired to get to this moment. Like, what has gone wrong? How am I in this position? Is there any chance I'm going to get out of it? He knew that it was going to take at least 4 hours for another helo to come his way because he's over 300 miles offshore. Thankfully, he was able to attach himself to the raft, and he felt depressed and he felt seasick and utterly exhausted and freezing. He's freezing cold.
Yeah.
So again, he knew his situation being where he was and just all of the attempts to get to where they were that evening to begin with in terms of what the resources were, right? So there were two Jayhawks that could reach him that were in a hangar in Elizabeth City, but both of them were in need of repairs. So they weren't coming out of the hangar anytime soon.
Oh, no. Gosh.
Luckily, there was a guided missile cruiser, Ticonderoga CG-47, with a Jayhawk on board that began heading in Odom's direction. So the missile cruiser started heading in his direction. At the same time, crew members on board are getting the helicopter ready from the ship's hangar. They're getting
this episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Ready to fly it out. And this was a difficult task because the Ticonderoga was experiencing the same storm. Granted, it's a way bigger craft, but I have a friend and my nurse, Shari, who is in the Navy, and she told me, oh, sea legs is a real thing. She said, regardless of how big these ships are, you definitely can feel the struggle when you're trying to walk on board. So it could be a very difficult task to get this helicopter ready to go.
Makes sense. Yeah.
There was another merchant ship, Diletta F. It had been alerted by the Coast Guard. It started heading toward Odom as well. And the co-pilot of the C-130 told Odom that another plane was coming and told him that he could make it. He just needed to hold on. He offered some flares or equipment. And at that point, Odom was thrown off his raft again. This time he was becoming hypothermic. He was in a critical state. He was experiencing extreme, all-consuming cold. It was very difficult to climb back on board, despite his connection to the raft by the lanyard. This was the fourth time he'd been tossed into the ocean. And he had stopped shivering. So he knew that his time was limited. Odom had been communicating with the aviation mechanic first mate, Barry Freeman. But at this point, Odom was no longer able to lift his radio to his mouth due to extreme weakness.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. We know that's a sign of severe hypothermia is when you stop shivering. You basically run out of gas. Metabolic energy is no longer present. You can't engage in any kind of meaningful muscle movement. That's one step away from certain death.
Right. And can you imagine how exhausted you would have to be to not lift your hand to your mouth with a, I mean, that really doesn't require very much energy. So he was spent.
Right. Yeah.
At some point, after the fourth time he was tossed into the ocean, he tied himself into the raft. So in the event that he died, the Coast Guard wouldn't need to spend a bunch of time looking for his body. So he's still thinking about them.
Yeah, he's doing him a solid there by keeping everything contained.
Right. The relief Hercules finally made it from Elizabeth City at 4:36. It was leading Elizabeth City Jayhawk being flown by Lieutenant Commander Bruce Jones. They diverged to search for the Mirage at 5:45. Another Hercules peered into Odom's raft to see if there's any movement in it or reaction to the planes overhead. And the helicopter at that point was about an hour away. Lieutenant Commander Dan Osborne, who's piloting the fixed-wing Hercules, guided Lieutenant Jones' rescue helicopter to Odom's raft. And as the day broke and the sun rose, the merchant vessel Diletta F also made an appearance on the scene. The vessel wasn't going to be able to pick up Odom, but interestingly, it was of use because it was large enough to act as a barrier to the wind and become a sea break. At 6:13 a.m., the rescue Jayhawk arrived and hovered above the water. This was 1 hour after Odom had transmitted a message stating, "I'm cold, I'm cold," and 4 hours, 50 minutes since he was left behind.
Oh, gosh, almost 5 hours that he's just been in this ice-cold water at night by himself, getting tossed around like a washing machine on spin cycle.
Right. Like a washing machine / cold plunge that never ends.
That never ends.
I wonder how Michael Odom feels about cold plunges in general. It'd be interesting to ask him that question.
Yeah, he probably got enough for one lifetime in this single experience.
Right. I wonder if that has like lasting cardiovascular benefits.
I hope it does. That's the least he can get out of this good cardiovascular health.
Right, exactly. So according to Coast Guard officials, rescue swimmers have been left before, but never for this long. Lieutenant Commander Bruce Jones, who piloted the second helicopter, stated, "It's always been close to shore and in less violent weather. It couldn't have happened in a worse place." The rescue swimmer on Odom's rescue was a man named Jim Peterson, who was also a friend of Odom's. He was lowered into the life raft and at first feared the worst. Odom was lifeless in the raft, completely 100% motionless. Peterson got down on Odom's level and began shouting at him. Also, he performed a firm sternal rub, and at first, he didn't get any response to the gestures. Peterson checked for Odom's carotid pulse, and suddenly Odom's arm flung up and reached out to Peterson. Odom was unconscious at the time, but at least it was evidence that he was still alive. But can you imagine how shocking that would be if you're the rescuer?
Yes. Some unexpected arm flinging in your direction from a seemingly unconscious patient.
Yeah, or seemingly potentially dead patient. I was thinking if this happened to me, I probably would have ended up in the ocean because I'm so jumpy. It's ridiculous. Like if somebody walks into a room and I don't know they're there. Every time it's ridiculous. So I would have jumped right off the raft, I think.
Good to know. If you're ever rescuing me in a situation like this, Casey, I'll keep my movements calm.
Yes.
And give you plenty of warning.
Slow, just slow is the name of the game there.
Calm and slow.
Yeah. At this point, Peterson hooked his harness to Odom's harness and the Jayhawk began to lift them together. And the webbing of the raft that was filled with water snagged on Peterson's arm and threatened to interfere with the rescue efforts because it was putting extra weight on the hoist cable. But luckily, Peterson was able to remove his arm from the tangle and webbing, and they were retrieved by the helicopter.
Oh, good. So he untied Odom, because wasn't Odom at that point tied to the raft?
Right.
So they untied him.
It sounded like they were lifting the raft. Maybe he was still tied to the raft, and the rescuer just hooked him, and then they went up all together.
Got it.
After rescue, Odom had a body temperature of 92.5 degrees. The crew members immediately got to work by removing his survival suit and his clothing. They also helped him by pumping up the heat, putting oxygen on him, and wrapping him in blankets. And at the same time, there were two men on the Mirage, or at least one man on the Mirage, that was waiting to be rescued by the same helicopter. There was a fixed wing with the sailboat to mark its location and to aid in the rescue effort. The members of the Jayhawk didn't want to wait to take Odom to get medical attention due to the critical nature of the situation. They elected to take him to the Ticonderoga, which was a 150-mile flight versus going all the way back to shore. They would be able to refuel after they handed him off. And the flight took 70 minutes. And during that time, Michael regained consciousness and his body temperature increased to 97.1 degrees.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's fast. Good.
And he spent only 24 hours on the Ticonderoga being cared for by Navy corpsmen. So what a quick turnaround in terms of Michael Odom's response to the care that he received. Wow. I mean, that might just be a reflection of what kind of shape that these people have to be in to do this job. Right.
Exactly. Like he had probably done a lot of training for a long time to be able to be resilient like that, or even just healthy to respond to that kind of rewarming.
Right. Now back to the Mirage, there's still two men on board. And again, one of those men wants to be removed. His name was Nielsen, again, the captain's friend who'd been previously thrown overboard 13 hours earlier. Well, Julie, he really wanted to get off that sailboat. He was gladly rescued.
Yeah. So let's talk more about that. So it's still at this point, the two men on the boat, Nielsen and the captain. The captain still does not want to be rescued.
True.
Is that true?
Yep. When the helicopter arrived at the Mirage, the captain, Brugger, was still not wanting to leave his boat and was refusing helicopter evac. And I mean, I guess I get it, because if he leaves his vessel, it's a complete goner, you know? So if you're pretty confident that it's not sinking, it would be hard to leave it just because your boat is going to sink. You're leaving it behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're sealing your fate. Right.
Yeah. And apparently he had family heirlooms aboard and a lot of personal belongings, and he was moving to the Virgin Islands. So, but I don't know about you, Julie. I would let those heirlooms go for sure. If I thought that boat was sinking, I would get off of it immediately.
Yeah.
Forget these family heirlooms. Who cares?
Right. This would be the last thing on my mind at that moment.
Right. Brugger, the captain, was notified that no one was going to come back for him later if he changed his mind.
And he was like, okay. See ya.
Yeah, that takes some serious balls to have that kind of resolve and to say to yourself, well, I guess if it gets worse, I'm just going down with the ship.
Yeah, going down with the ship. So you might be getting to it, but what ended up happening to Brugger?
Well, we're getting to that. 3 days following Odom's rescue, he was back at the job. Again, talk about fast recovery. 3 days. Coast Guard swimmer Michael Odom was honored by the Distinguished Flying Cross before Congress on May 4th, 1995, for his heroic actions during the rescue of the Mirage crew members. Senator Mark Hatfield, Senator Appropriations Committee Chairman, and Coast Guard Commandant Admiral Robert Kramick jointly presented the award. The Distinguished Flying Cross is bestowed upon individuals who exhibit remarkable heroism or extraordinary achievement while engaging in aerial flight. Mm-hmm. Eligibility for this award demands an act of exceptional courage in the face of significant danger surpassing ordinary expectations.
Well, I would say this checks all of those boxes. No question.
Yeah, no question. In regard to this event, Odom stated, "It'll be in my mind forever." He said, it's something I'm never going to forget. He thought he had been left for dead, as we had talked about before, and he stated, I just pretty much felt like I was left for dead until I started talking to the C-130 crews. So the Captain Brugger sailed all the way to St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. It took him 17 days total. He was unscathed. He planned on using his boat for a winter charter business there. I thought it would be interesting just to touch on a few facts about Coast Guard rescue swimmers. There's a lot of information out there. I don't know if you remember the movie with Kevin Costner. There was a movie with Kevin Costner where he's a Coast Guard rescue swimmer. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that movie.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
No. Waterworld, maybe? No. But me and that. I don't think I ever saw it, but sounds kind of Coast Guard rescue swimmer-ish.
Oh my gosh. Not even. But that's hilarious that you said that. And when we're done with this, I want you to go to YouTube and watch the trailer for Waterworld. Please.
And
please
see,
do not.
See how close it is to a Coast Guard rescue swimmer movie. Okay.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, so anyway, being a Coast Guard rescue swimmer is one of the most rigorous training one could go through in the U.S. military. Not only are Coast Guard swimmers relied upon for these types of extreme rescue situations on high seas, but they're also called upon during hurricanes and floods. Being a rescue swimmer requires physical strength and endurance, but certainly a lot of mental stamina. During training, the trainees must swim 30 minutes at high seas with waves as tall as 20 feet. There are also other requirements. They have to be able to do 5 pull-ups and chin-ups, which I feel like is the easiest of all of their requirements.
Yeah, that's pretty easy.
Yeah, I think that we need to do a challenge to see if we can do 5 pull-ups and chin-ups.
And swim 30 minutes in 25-foot seas. How hard can
maybe
it be?
Maybe not that one. There are no 25-foot seas
We'll go to the Silver Rapids water park in the wave pool and ask them to just turn it up full volume.
Yes, just turn it up. We'll just pay you for the day. Just get all these kids out of here.
Crank this as high as you can get it.
Exactly. It'd be really interesting to know how high is that. It's probably like 6 feet. They'll be like, it goes 4.5 feet tall. That's what you got. Good luck. Okay, so 5 pull-ups, 5 chin-ups, 50 push-ups, 60 sit-ups, 25 yard underwater swims completed 4 times, buddy tow 200 yards, and a 500 yard swim under 12 minutes.
Okay.
So I think I could probably meet most of those marks, but when it came to the swimming part, I think that you would be more suitable as a Coast Guard swimmer, Julie.
Yeah, the swimming part actually sounds less intimidating to me than the push-ups. Can I put my knees down? Can I do the push-ups from my knees?
I'm going to guess that's a hard no, Julie.
I'm out.
Well, maybe if we could combine the two of us, it would be an excellent Coast Guard rescue swimmer.
Exactly.
Yeah, we'd actually make a really good one because I, you know, I've been practicing my push-ups a lot lately, so.
Okay, good. Keep going on that, and I'll keep swimming laps.
Okay, let's do it. Since 1980, only 900 candidates have made high enough scores to become rescue swimmers, and clearly this is intense work, even for highly trained individuals with excellent strength. Interestingly, as of 2023, the U.S. Coast Guard has yet to lose a swimmer in a rescue situation, which is unbelievable.
That's amazing.
I know. I can't believe it.
They're so well trained and so good at their jobs. That's really impressive.
The other thing that I would say in regard to that is that it's a team effort, and I'm sure that their rates of survival have something to do with the team approach because they're all working together with the pilot, the lift hoist operator, communications, all of these things to make sure that they're doing things safely. So I think that has something to do with it as well. Many of the swimmers do get significant injuries like broken bones and spinal injuries. So it's not like it's completely without risk. Mm-hmm. In an article from How Stuff Works titled Coast Guard Rescue Swimmers Risk All to Save Lives, former U.S. Coast Guard helicopter rescue swimmer Joseph Butch Flythe said, quote, if you're doing a high hoist and they're putting you down into a vessel that's rocking back and forth, you can get slammed into the side. He explained that during a rescue involving a burning ship that, quote, we had a guy drop down onto a diesel slack and he got burns in his throat from inhaling it, end quote.
That's awful.
I know. That would be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Rescue swimmers enter the water donned with wetsuits layered with additional clothing for insulation against cold temperatures. Their gear includes a protective helmet, a mask, snorkel, safety harness, and an assortment of tools like a knife, a strobe light for aircraft visibility, and a radio for communications with a helicopter pilot. These essentials, as described by Flythe, ensure adaptability during rescue missions, allowing for real-time adjustments if needed. Among their equipment, the large black fins stand out, which enhance their swimming capabilities significantly. I wonder if they get to wear the fins when they're doing training exercises.
I bet. They got to be familiar with their equipment.
Right. Yeah, so maybe there's hope for me, Julie, if I swam with...
There you go. Oh, the testing criteria. I'm guessing no fins. No fins.
Yeah, okay. If somebody knows, message us.
We need to get a Coast Guard swimmer on the Crux, Casey.
Oh, yes. Maybe we'll get Michael Odom.
Or even Butch. I like his name.
Butch. Yeah, Butch. I bet he would be all about it. I'm going to look for him. So moreover, their preparedness stems from rigorous training provided by the Coast Guard. Training scenarios simulate harsh conditions, I would hope so, including simulated storms with artificially created waves, sounds of thunder, along with water spray jets to replicate the turbulent environment beneath a hovering helicopter. So they're really trying to recreate the same situation that these guys are going to be going into. But also, I think it just mentally prepares them because then they know they've kind of already experienced it when they go out.
Yeah, they know what it feels like.
Yeah, exactly. Which would take a lot of that stress, I think, out of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you imagine what it would have been like if you really knew what it felt like to be a medical provider before you became one? Then you probably wouldn't have became one.
Nobody would ever become one. That would backfire.
You're right. Forget that. Scratch that. As we conclude this episode honoring the remarkable actions of Michael Odom, Coast Guard rescue swimmer extraordinaire, we're reminded of the selflessness and courage exhibited by those who serve in our armed forces. Odum's story is not just one of individual heroism, but also a testament to the dedication and sacrifices made by all Coast Guard rescue swimmers who put their lives on the line to save others. We want to express our heartfelt gratitude to you, our listeners, for joining us on this journey and exploration of this crazy water world story. And your support truly means the world to us. Thank you so much for supporting us, for listening every week. It really means so much. So thank you. If you or someone you know has a story to share, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Instagram at The Crux Podcast or via email, thecruxsurvival@gmail.com. Your stories are what drive us to continue bringing us meaningful content and just being involved in our journey as we go through this process of trying to figure out what we're doing. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please consider rating and reviewing us on your preferred podcast platform. And if you've enjoyed today's episode, please consider rating and reviewing us on your preferred podcast platform. Your feedback helps us improve and reach more listeners who may find inspiration from our stories. Thanks again for tuning in. Until next time, you know, have fun, do some adventuring, and yeah, reach out to us. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Thoughts, feelings, questions, criticism, feedback, whatever it might be.
Stay safe out there.
Stay safe out there. That's what my dad always says to me. Be safe. Drive safe.
Good advice.
All right. Well, yeah. And next week, we're going to have on one of our listeners who has a story for us about being attacked by a kangaroo.
So, I cannot wait.
It's a good one. She's great. So anyway, have a great day, everybody. Until next time.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Yeah, it's another day, but what kind of day is it really? A day of doom scrolling? Laundry day? Nah, it's a White Claw day. Light and refreshing tasting, uniquely cold way filtered. There's an iconic flavor for everyone. So grab a pack, grab your friends. Make the most of each day with those who matter most. When you're together with White Claw, every day is a once in a lifetime experience. You just gotta grab it. White Claw. Grab life by the claw. Please drink responsibly. Hard seltzer with flavors. White Claw seltzer works Chicago, Illinois.